Okay, today is Wednesday, November 20th. This is the Women's Chumash here. We are up to Bereshit, Perek Yudchet, Psukim, Chaf and Chaf Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai. We started last week, Perek Yudchet, Psukim, Chaf and Chaf Aleph. And we have a couple of comments that we have to look at. So, just as a reminder, just to review for a second, we'll just read the two psukim again, Perek Yudchet, Chaf and Chaf Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said that He is not going to withhold information from Avraham, and that He would inform him what He's planning on doing to Sodom before He actually did it. Then the Torah interrupted and said something very nice and charming about Avraham. And we spent plenty of time on that, but that was an editor's note about Avraham. And now the conversation starts. It never actually states that God is speaking to Avraham. It doesn't say it. It just says, Vayomer Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. The assumption is that He spoke to Avraham, based on the fact that he expressed his intention and desire to do so. So although it does not actually state that these two psukim have been stated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham, it appears from the context that He is speaking to Avraham. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? We said, read this last week, Za'akat Sodom Va'amaraki Rabba, the anguish, the screams, the cries from the people of Sodom and Amorah are plentiful. V'chatasam, as well their transgressions, ki chavda me'od, they are very, very serious, very heavy. Erdana ve'ere, I will go down and check. Hatzaakata haba'a elai, asu kala, and see if this screaming unto me is indeed justified. What do I do? Kala, I decide to destroy them. The imlo, and if it's not justified, eida'a, literally means I will know them. What in the world that means, we have yet to explain. So last week we read several possible interpretations of these psukim, and I would like to continue today with a couple of others and start with the Radak on page 3. Page 3. That is correct. It is not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself is saying, it is not a given. He only after He confirms that this is indeed accurate. That's correct. Yes.
Does that mean that they're calling up to God and He can hear them, or that He just hears?
Somebody asked that question last week, and it's unlikely that a resident of Sodom would be praying to our God.
But Lot,
he's not crying, not yet, because he's not been oppressed. It is those people who have been oppressed who are calling to things. So we saw one interpretation where the Medrash and Rashi confirmed this as well, that it referred specifically to a young girl who invited somebody into her house, and they decided that they were going to kill her in a most unusual fashion. And God heard her anguish and her cries. And the way the Medrash interpreted the word ki rabba was riva. Riva is, in certain Hebraic expressions, a young lad. A young girl, actually. So this young girl who violated Sodom law and invited somebody into her house was agonizing and crying. She probably wasn't the only one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears this and says, I'm going to go check this out.
So I want to show you a couple of suggestions by a variety of people about what's going on and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Erdana, and what does it mean at the end, V'imlo Eida'a. What in the world does that mean? So we'll start with Radak at the bottom of page 3, and then it goes right away onto page 4. Says the Radak, Vayomer Hashem, Za'akat, it's on the left-hand side of the bottom of page 3. Za'akat Sidom Va'amara. Ratza Lomar, now that's just page 5 and 6. Is there anything extra? Anybody have an extra? There's a couple extras. Okay. I made 50 copies, so there should be enough. It's good. Let more people come and make 60 copies. It's good. Okay, you got more. Here you have 5 and 6 there too. Anybody else need anything?
Anyone take from somebody else?
Here you go.
Thank you.
No problem. Anybody else? There are plenty of hairs with 5. Hairs of 5 and 6. Here you go. 5 and 6.
Thank you.
No problem. For some reason, the stapler didn't staple in 5 and 6. Idiotic. Okay. Says the Radak on the left-hand side at the bottom of page 3. Ratza lomar. Bati lehodiacha, I have come to let you know, now continues on page 4 on the left hand side, Za'akat Sidom v'amora ki rabba, that it's, I've heard too much of them crying. Says the Radak, it is not limited to Sidom and Amora. V'chein sha'ar eretz chameshet hamilachim. If you remember correctly, in Lech Lecha, Melech Sdom was one of 5 kings who engaged in a battle against 4 kings. The 4 would have been victorious, except the fact that Avram interceded on their behalf. And Melech Sdom was one of the recipients. Melech Sdom was one of the recipients. What are you looking for?
Just put your hand
down. Okay.
Thank you.
You got all of them there? Okay. Melech Sdom was one of the recipients. And there was a whole group of people. Says the Radak that the inappropriate behavior, even though we call it always Sdom and Amora, there were 3 other nations involved at this time. Ki kala nishchata bechatatam, all of them were destroyed as a result of their transgression. Vehi bichlal eretz hakikar shizochar lemata. This is the eretz hakikar which the Torah makes reference to later on. So if you look at chapter 19 for a second, Perek Yutet for 1 second, Pasuk Chavchet. Vayashkev, Perek Yutep, Vayashkev al Pnei Sodom v'Amora, v'al kol Pnei Eretz Hakikar. V'al kol Eretz Hakikar. So it's not limited to Sodom and Amora, it's the entire region called the Eretz Hakikar. The Kikar was a particularly fertile land in Israel, and it is the part of the reason why Lot wound up in that region. Remember,
he said there in Mitzrayim.
Exactly. There was no more fertile land than Sodom and Amorah, and that region, it was like the best things in Egypt. Like Kigan Hashem, the Eretz Mitzrayim. Because Eretz Mitzrayim had the Nile River to make sure that things were always plentiful. And in fact, if you look at Devarim for a minute, when Moshe Rabbeinu reminds everybody about how God, when he is angry, can be incredibly devastating. If you look at Parshat Nitzavim for a second, I'll tell you exactly where it is in a second. Parshat Nitzavim, it is Perek Chaf Tet, Psukim Chaf Bet and Chaf Gimel. Chaf Bet and Chaf Gimel. So Moshe says that the Gentiles have seen the powerful hand of God. What did they see in Chaf Bet? Gafrit v'melach sreifa kol arza. Sulfur and salt rained down on their territory. Lo tizara v'lo tatzmiach. You couldn't plant because nothing would grow. V'lo ya'aleber kol esef. Not only would there be no plants and vegetables growing, no grass, nothing. Kima pechat stone amora Adma utzvoyim. There it mentions four of the nations. Asher hafach Hashem be'apo ubachamato. So God is, Moshe is warning them that don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not capable or not willing to release His anger upon nations. He did it against the Gentiles. He will do it against you as well. That's, but it's there it mentions four of the five. Adma Utsvoyim, in addition to Sdom and Amora. And Radak is telling us, do not think that it was limited only to these nations. That's point number one. The Chenom Moshe, that's what he says. Kima pechas Sdom Amora, Adma Utsvoyim. Then he quotes another pasuk in Hosea, a line later, Avol Zachar Sdom v'Amora, Kihem Rashei Hamamlachut ha'ele usdom haita aim lekulam. Maze aim lekulam, the motherhead of this terrible piece of these state laws against inviting people into your house. State laws against inviting people into your house. Yes. That is correct. 100%. He just would not destroy the entire world. That is correct.
Wasn't that just with water?
No, that's with water the entire world. He would not destroy the entire world with water. He can destroy the entire world with anything. But a local nation, he can do whatever he wants. There's no guarantees at all under those circumstances. Now, if you want to see that this was actual law. What was it quoted? And it explains why they made these laws. Just give me 1 second. Yes. Take at page 6 for a second. Page 6. And it's in the second bracketed section. Third line. Actually, start in the middle of the second line. Chazal hisbiru, middle of the second line. Anshei Sodom lo nitga'u, ela bishvil tova shehishpia lahem hakadosh baruch hu. Anshei Sodom became very haughty, nitga'u, very haughty, only on account of the fact that God had blessed them with enormous resources, natural resources. Amru, they said, Lama lanu ovrei drachim. Why do we need people passing by, wayfarers? What do we need them for? Why? She'ein ba'im eleinu ela lichasreinu. Are they going to consider moving to Sodom? Because they want to share in what? In our resources. Well, if they share, what happens to us? We get a little less. So, therefore, they would do everything possible. possible by state law not to encourage people to move. How do you demonstrate that you shouldn't move to this neighborhood? By being anti-hostile, anti-social, anti-social. We don't invite any company, there's nobody getting anything to eat, nobody's sleeping here, nothing. Kilomar, Anche Sidom, Min'u Mizarim, Lavo Lagor Be'iram. Anche Sidom did everything by state law to preclude people from moving in. Shahaita Kigan Elohim. The land was as fertile, as rich as the garden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gan She'ein Tov Mimenu Ba'olam. A garden, an area that was richer than any other place in this world. Kakatuv, as it is written, Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Misrayim. V'lachein Him Hit Alelu Bizarim. They ridiculed and terrorized strangers. V'hefchidu Otam K'dei She'yivruchu Ule'olam Lo Yeshvu. So that they will run away and never choose to settle. So it was the official, not the individual, according to this midrash, it was not necessarily the individual actions of the people. What bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be that a society would legislate and say these types of things. No hospitality to be offered because we want to keep everything for ourselves. That is correct. That's why the Mishnah calls that Midat Sdom. Exactly, the Mishnah in Masechet Avot, where a person says Shali Shali and Shelcha Shali. You know, that's also correct. That's correct, right? Good. Now, this Medrash also makes another point on the top of it. It emphasizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never called the people of Sodom Rishaim. He identified what? Their transgressions. Chatasam kidavdamaod. Elohim lo mishtamesh b'mila Rishaim. Kidei l'ta'er et hitnahutam shel anshei Sodom ela kichotim. Sinners, but they're not Rishaim. They engaged in transgression. Heim ovrim al chok misuyam. They violate a particular transgression. Aval Elohim lo mikabel hitnehagutam kirishaim kifi sha'avram chozer ve'omer. As Avram will say this a little later. A little later. This idea was formulated initially by Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir. Bruria had compassion upon Rabbi Meir, who one guy, it's called some Tzduki, would go ahead and harass Rabbi Meir every time he stepped out of the house until he got into the Beis Medrash, and if he was sexual, he harassed him in the Beis Medrash as well. And Rabbi Meir decided that one day he was going to pray and invoke God's name and ask God, do what you can do. Take care of him. And he asking him to kill that individual. And he mentioned by name, he said he's a terrible Rasha. So Bruria says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, which we recite on Rosh Chodesh, it's the Shir Shiyam Rosh Chodesh, Yitamu Chata'im min ha'aretz. V'lo kitiv, says Bruria, Chot'im min ha'aretz. It doesn't say that we ask God to eliminate sinners. We ask God to eliminate sins. Rish'ut, not Rish'aim. Yitamu Chata'im min ha'aretz. Ursh. And therefore, what will then happen if you get rid of sin? Urishaim, Odeinam, there won't be any Rishaim any longer. But she didn't, David Amel did not pray or ask God to terminate Rishaim. Bruria sells this to her husband, Rabbi Meir, saying, he's as Eichet Amensh. He's also a human being. Okay, he harasses you. Doesn't mean he's the worst guy in the world. He's got to be killed. ask God to help modify his behavior, not that he should be killed entirely. This is a very similar idea in which Bruria expresses that particular thought. That particular thought. Yeah. Continues the Radak, and this is what I want to show you, number one. Continue on that page 4. Right after the parentheses where it says Yecheskel Tetzayin Gimel Upirish Zaakat. What does it mean? Zaakat Sodom and Amorah. Shahayu Zoakim Ho'ashukim Bein Mehem Bein Me'aratzot Achirot Shebaim O'Evrim Shama. There were two categories of people who were crying out. Either residents or strangers. Because they tortured both. The stranger who came and the resident who decided to grant them hospitality. Zoakim Hamas Meirov Ho'ashukim. They are calling out that they have been harassed, terribly harassed. They have been robbed of their dignity, of any sense of self-respect. Meirov Ho'ashukim. Based on so many of the people who engaged in this behavior. Fa'af al pi shahayu osin toavot acherot. Don't think that the people of Sodom and Amorah, this is the only deficiency. They engaged in plenty of others. Particularly, the Gemara tells us, they were ovdei avodah zarah. All different types of ovdei avodah zarah. They engaged in blasphemy of God's name. They had heard about a God that Abraham was praying to. After all, he tried to inspire the whole world to believe in our God. So they would curse this God. So they were involved in lots of other things. Lo nechtam gzardinam elo al hachamas. What convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy them? Was not the fact that they worshipped idols, was not the fact that they engaged in cursing God, only one thing. How they treated another human being. Ki lo yizbol ha'el hechamas l'orach zman. God has very little patience for people who engage in Hamas. Why? Ki hu hefseid yishuv ha'olam. Because that ultimately causes the downfall of all of society. Kimoshirainu gamkein ba'anshei dor ha'mabul. We find this as well by the anshei ha'mabul. The pasuk it said in Parshas Noach, which we studied, vati male ha'aretz chamas. And Rashi is quick to note they were guilty of lots of things, but lo nechtam gzardinam. Violations of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro irk God far more than violations Bein Adam L'Makom. Because Bein Adam L'Makom, he can understand it. It's sometimes very bizarre. And nobody's getting hurt if you don't eat matzah on Pesach. Yeah. Nobody's getting hurt if you don't eat Nesukah. It's not Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he can tolerate it. But to hurt another human being, that causes suffering and the downfall of society as a whole. And therefore, God is particularly harsh against people who engage in Hamas. In fact, I'm sorry I didn't photostat it. If you remember Tfilat Ne'ilah, at the very end, we make our final petitions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we say the following: L'man nechdal me'oshek yadeinu. L'man nechdal me'oshek yadeinu. Meaning, we ask God, Melech Rachaman, to forgive us, so that we will not do any longer. I prefer oshek yadeinu. What does oshek mean? Lo sa'ashot. What is it? It's enough. What? Oppressed. But it also means something very specific. It means to steal. May oshek yodein, to steal. And everybody wants to know, why in Tfilat Ne'ilah do I identify stealing? As stealing. And there are two explanations. One is just in line with this. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the day of Yom Kippur is going to be angry and decide against us, You want to know why he decided against you? It's symbolized by gneva, a lack of respect for fellow man, a lack of respect for fellow man's property, their assets. That's number one. Number two, theft also is understood in the symbolic way. If we don't follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments, every day that we live is a stolen day. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. So in Tfilat Ne'ilah, they even use the imagery of theft, the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, as the symbol of not deserving extended life. Either because you're guilty of it, don't engage in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and we emphasize that. Not that you didn't put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin today. That's not what we say. Only Oshek. And Oshek is representative of the broader category of Lo Tignov. In Parshat Kedoshim, the Torah always uses it says, Lo Sa'ashok Bireyacha. Don't engage in theft, chamas, against your neighbor. Against your neighbor.
Yeah.
Yes?
What's the definition of chamas? Is it victim?
No. Chamas is the act of thievery in all of its ramifications. In all of its ramifications. Rashi in Noach even gave an example that they would be so smart sometimes to steal less than a pruta. Exactly. Pruta is the smallest halachic coin. Bet Din does not sit in session for a claim that is less than a pruta. So these people were smart. Oh, I'm not going to steal a pruta. I'm going to steal less than a pruta. You can't even do anything in court. So that it drives HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more angry. Why? You use halachic rationale to defend your immoral behavior. It was less than a pruta. What do you want? It's not even recoverable in court. So this is just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way. Violations of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro are much more offensive to him than violations Bein Adam L'Makom. Yeah. So that's what Radak adds. Please now take a look at a second at the Ramban. So go back to page number 3 for a minute. And then we'll see the holy Ramban, and then go immediately to 4 on the right hand side of the bottom of page 3. Okay. So first he just quotes Rashi, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Sha'asa Kasher Amar Shelo Yechaseh Mimenu. Even though it doesn't say that he's speaking to Avraham, Rashi told us that God is speaking to Avraham to fulfill that which he just stated, that he's not going to do anything until he shares it with Uncle Abe. Now, Ibn Ezra will make it a point, he quotes it, I want to skip that until we do that pasuk, and okay, let's do that pasuk right now. If you look after, then I'll come back to it. Look at the after Chaf Aleph. After Chaf Aleph. Now, after Chaf Aleph, God had presented exactly what he told Avraham. So what should have been the next pasuk? What should have gone... No, Avraham knows what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. So what should have been the next pasuk? Tells what Avraham does. Which is which? Chaf Gimel. Vayigash Avraham. Vayomah. Now Avraham starts his speech, which we will learn. You mean to tell me, God, you're going to kill a righteous person together with a Rasha? But that's not what happens in the text. Something else happens, which is Chaf Bet. Vayifnu Misham ho'anoshim vayelchu Sedoma v'Avraham odenu omeid lifnei Hashem. That pasuk, which literally means vayifnu, he turned Misham, from there. Now, first, just comment number one. I'm not going to answer all the questions. The word Pniyah, every other time in Tanakh, is followed by a lamed. Vayifnu, either the word El or Lit. You turn to what? To where you're going. You don't turn Misham. So there's going to be a comment on that phrase in a minute. Vayelchu Sedoma. These three angels or people decided to go to stone. The Avraham Odenu Omeid Lifnei Hashem. Avraham is still standing in the presence of God. What do you mean he's standing in the presence of God? Odena Omeid Lifnei Hashem. So Rashi is going to say something spectacular in just a second, but I wanted to show you this pasuk to see how Ramban will first call it Ibn Ezra. We'll get to Rashi and then say what he has to say. Now back to the Ramban. For Omar, back on page 3 on the bottom. You got to keep up. What? That's correct. I just read Chaf Bet. It should have gone from Aleph to Chaf Gimel. But it interrupted this that somebody turned away and Avram is still standing there. That's an interruption from what's going on. Says the Ramban on the bottom of page 3. Last, next to the left. The Omar Rabbi Avraham, that's Ibn Ezra, Ramban quotes him often, Ki nichnas pasuk vayifnu misham ha'anshim b'netayim. This pasuk is inserted at this particular time. Now, says the Ramban on page 4, says the Ramban, Lahodia, to let you know, Ki ba'eit sheba'u lisdom, when they arrived in Sdom, Az Amar Hashem la'Avraham za'akat Sdom va'amara ki rabba. When did HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Avraham? Says Ibn Ezra, after what? After the three people already reached Sdom. We have no knowledge that they ever reached Sdom. So the Torah, as an afterthought, tells us, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Avram, and Avram is about to start, and Pasuk Kaf Gimel start playing. When is this taking place? So the Torah sneaks it in and says, you know what? Oh, the angels had already left Avram's tent and already reached stone. And what is one of the angels' responsibility? What are one of his charges? What's his one job? To destroy stone and to save Lot. Ah, so everything's ready to go into process. Then Vayigash Avraham. So this dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham, and Avraham's reaction to pray takes place after the three angels have now reached Sdom and are ready to start to destroy the city of Sdom. So instead of just telling us in information in sequence, he doesn't tell us why, that after, in between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's statement and Avram's reaction to pray, they sneak in that what's happening, that they reach Sdom and are ready to attack. Ready to attack. Yes?
Wasn't Hashem supposed to go down and see for himself?
That's what he said, and that's correct. In other words, Sdom, the three angels are there, and he's not going to let them do anything until what?
Until
he goes down and checks it out himself.
So when is he going to do that?
Right now. But they are already there, ready. That's correct. How do I know that? Because it says, Vayifnu Misham Ha'anashim. So they are ready. God says, hold up a second.
Okay.
I want to see it with my own eyes.
Avram's still in his tent.
What?
Avram's still in his tent.
So, that's correct. He's still in his tent. Exactly. That's what Rashi is going to say. that Avram Odeno Omeid Hashem, it's the opposite. Hashem is standing with Avram. He was visiting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still there.
Hashem says,
correct. That's when he went and took care of his guests. Now he goes back into the tent and talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's unrelated to the story still.
Correct. Totally unrelated. And he's still there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still there with him. But it's not nice to say that God was standing there waiting for Avram to do something. God, but it's not. So it says that Avram is still standing with God. You know what really happened? Rashi says, God is standing with Avram. But it's not nice to say God is standing with Avram. We'll get to that a little later. Just want to finish the Ibn Ezra. I mean the Rambam. V'chein das kol ha-meforshim. Everybody believes ki im Avraham yidaber. Ulefize hanachon bapasuk vayifnu misham ha'anashim ki ka'asher amar Hashem le'Avraham bin soa hanashim imenu. When the other three angels, when his guests left him, when they left him,
different angels,
exact different stages, correct. What happens?
But
yes, they are the same three angels. When they left, God says to Avraham, "Zaakat Sodom v'Amora ki Rabba." And what did Avraham do? Avraham, Amar Avraham b'tfilah, v'tachana lefanav, v'tichina lefanav, limchol lohem, that he should forgive them, v'latet lo reshut lidaber. Says Ibn Ezra, this did not take place after the angels left. This took, when the angels reached Sodom. That's what Ibn Ezra said. Says the Ramban, that is not correct. God is there with Abraham in the tent. They left and are on their way. At that time, God shares with Abraham his plan, right there and then. They're out of the house, they're on their way. I'm planning to destroy them. And what does Avraham do? He begins to pray and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for permission to elaborate on his prayer. Amar Avraham b'tchila utchina lefanav l'mchol lahem v'latet lo reshut lidaber v'he'erich b'tfilato ad sheba'u hanashim sedoma. How long did Avraham pray? How long did Avraham pray? Until the people came to Sodom. Why did he stop then? Because he knew that once those three angels reached Sodom, that's it. Nothing is going to be able to stop them. Amalach v'esnish nechachas. He has been assigned a task, and if he reaches his destination in Sodom, that's it. So Ramban disagrees with Ibn Ezra about the timing of this particular pasuk. Ibn Ezra said, these guys left. Avram is remaining in his tent with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They already reached Sodom, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram what he's planning on doing, and Avram responds with prayer. However, Ramban says no. He does not believe that an angel, once assigned a task, can ever change his mind. He's not at liberty to change his mind. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision, in effect, to say, I've made up my mind. That's the symbolism of an angel. Don't forget, angels don't do anything. Everything is done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we talk about angels? Angels are a symbol to communicate for us what is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same thing of the angel who appears to Avram as he is about to what?
Put the
knife down and kill Yitzchak. What happened? Vayomer l'malach Hashem, al tishlach yado l'anar. Don't do anything. Represents the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was satisfied with Avram's reaction, and as a result, As a result, Avram recognizes that he's allowed to spare him. So that's what the Ramban says. Ve'oz nigash Avraham va'amar ha'af tisper. Would you destroy a tzaddik together with a rasha? Would you do that? Now, the word erdana, we saw last week, is a symbolic coming down of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appraise the situation himself. He knows what's going on, of course, even up above. But it's symbolic, teaching us a judge should not go by hearsay. We pointed this out last week. No circumstantial evidence accepted. It's got to be Eidut Shel Ri'iyah. There are others who offer a much more sophisticated interpretation about Ve'erda. Erda and Vineda. Whenever we approach a task to evaluate something, I imagine we already have a preconceived notion as to what happened. We all do that. We're asked to investigate a fight amongst kids. You know, in school, you get teachers versus students. So we already know, who's making up stories and who's communicating the reality. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, is he predisposed to doing one way or the other? Okay, I know. But what is he predisposed to do? When he's coming down, says, I forgot who said it, I have it here somewhere, that it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's initial plan to come down at this time with Midat HaDin on his mind. Just like you said. He's planning to do what? To destroy. Because his approach is Midat HaDin at this time. However, if he comes out and his estimation of what happened was that they were not as bad as he initially surmised or evaluated, so what does it say? Vineda'a. Does it say that? Vineda'a. Vimlo eida'a. Vimlo eida'a. He says the alternatives are, if it's true, kala, destroy them. Vimlav eida'a. So in order to see what the change is, I want you to look at Shmot chapter 2. I think it's Pasuk Chav Gimel or Chav Dalet. The last Pasuk of chapter 2 of Sefer Shmot. The last Pasuk. Yes. That is correct. Precisely. The last pasuk. So if you started Yutet Achach, where it says, Vayhi Bayamim Arabim Lahem, what pasuk is that? That's Chaf Gimel. Vayhi Bayamim Arabim Lahem. Chaf Gimel. Chaf Gimel. I don't know the page. I don't have a question from you. 300. What? So it says, Vayhi Bayamim Arabim Lahem, Vayanchu bnei Yisrael min avodah, Vatal Shavasom, Vayizaku, Vatal Shavasom Elohim. Fine. So the Jews engaged in prayer for the first time after 210 years. For 210 years, they never prayed to God to get out of Mitzrayim. That's why God did absolutely nothing. Because they thought that they can do this on their own. A slave rebellion, maybe buying them off, who knows what. But until you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he does absolutely nothing. Suddenly, Vayizaku, they complain. What happens? What happens? What's the next pasuk? Vayishma Elohim, it's not the son. Vayizkor Elohim et Brito. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered he made a promise to Avram that they would be slaves for 400 years. And the Akarei Kain Yetzu Berechush Gadol. And that's what he does. He remembers. And then the last pasuk says, what does it say? Vayar Elohim Meisho Vayeda Elohim. It's a very difficult phrase, Vayeda Elohim. But many say, what does it mean, Vayeda? He now exhibits Rachamim. That's what you said. Exhibits Rachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to allow them to suffer in Mitzrayim, and he did for 210 years. Why didn't he respond after the year 60? Why not after 8? Because they didn't ask. They did not demonstrate that their salvation is exclusively dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They weren't aware of it.
Any person in that situation would... There are no atheists in
the foxhole. They didn't until this time. I can't tell you why, but that's the fact. Once you are willing to exhibit your total dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, Vayeda Elohim. So Vayeda, many say it means, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu will begin with Rachamim. And the next chapter, it's going into motion right away. What's the beginning of that chapter? Moshe is being summoned as the leader of Am Yisrael. So the Exodus drama is going to start unfolding. Until that time, nothing happened. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, if you think you can do this, I'm going to go with Midas Adin.
So what made them start asking?
I wasn't there, I can't tell you. But maybe they finally were so frustrated in their own attempts and ingenuity, they said, we can only turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's good. So here also, Ve'eda'a means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's initial descent, what was on his mind, Midat Hadin. Now we will come down and see it eye to eye, face to face. So if I confirm my initial impression, what do? I allow my Midat Hadin to continue, and I will destroy the entire Sodom and Amorah. But if I can't confirm my initial impression, or I sense that they're going to do tshuva, that tshuva is possibility, I will now switch know them, means to know means, I will use midat ha-rachamim at this particular time, and therefore not destroy them. Not destroy them. Just as an aside, the Rav once suggested that those two psukim that we just looked at is the basis of a requirement in our davening called smichut ge'ula l'tfila. Smichut ge'ula l'tfila. That there can be no interruption whatsoever between the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Go'al Yisrael, ge'ula, and the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. It's our practice that if the Chazan says Baruch Atah Hashem Ba'al Yisrael out loud, which he should, that the Tzibur doesn't even answer Amen. We answer Amen to Yotzer HaMorot, Ha'abocher Amo Yisrael V'Yehava, some people do, but Ba'al Yisrael, nobody answers Amen. Why? Because you have to be Somech Ge'ula L'Tfila. This halach is so important that it overrides Tfila B'Tzibur. You come to shul and it's late. The tzibur is up to Shmon Esrei. And I can give you Rambam, chapter and verse, why davening with a minion is so much more effective and important than davening as an individual. So when I come into shul and they're after Shema ready, I'm ready Shema, I can start Shmon Esrei right away. But you're not allowed to. You have to start with Birchot Shema, say the Shema, and then say Go'al Yisrael, and then start Shmon Esrei. Because you cannot approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything that we need until we acknowledge it that there is no one to turn to. If a doctor believes that he or she is capable of healing their patients without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance, he should skip the bracha of Refrain Hashem and Refrain Doctor. What do you buy from God? Do you think you're a doctor? Do it yourself. if somebody is an investment to one of those guys from the what funds? From the
hedge fund.
And he only has $140 million in his bank. And he thinks, I know what to do. I know what to trade. I know to do everything. He should skip the bracha baruch halenu for a parnasa. We have a right to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu only when we acknowledge that He is the only source to turn to. We symbolize that by being Somech Ge'ula L'Tfilah. How did Am Yisrael ultimately deserve Ge'ula? By acknowledging the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their redemption. We do the same thing. And until we are ready to acknowledge it, no right to daven whatsoever. So that's even more important than davening with a minyan. To be somech ge'ula l'tfilah, and that is, according to the Rav, the basis of it, learned from those couple of psukim. And so here, I just show it to you, because the Vayeda Elohim is translated by many as the switch of midas harachamim, the light turning on to midas harachamim. Same thing here. Ve'eda'a, I will use my midas harachamim, whereas up until now, my initial inclination, as I was headed downstairs in the elevator, I was thinking of employing midat hadin. Employing midat hadin. Yes. Yes. He said that in his editorial remark. He said it because I know that Avraham represents Derech Hashem, v'shamru la'asot mishpat utzdakah. So I want to demonstrate to him that if you are committed to mishpat utzdakah and you're going to teach that to your children, eit asher yitzaveh Avraham la'avdo whatever it is lebnei beito, to all of his family. It's the lesson that Avram is going to teach his children. Here is the choice. If you follow Derech Hashem and Mishpat and Tzedakah, you'll get blessed like Avram was blessed. If not, you're going to die like stone died. That's the way he tells him. It says it. Torah says it itself. It's a way of educating his children what to expect in the future. That's the purpose of it. Yeah.
And is there a difference in when Hashem heard the moaning of Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, it doesn't say that he went down.
No, that is correct. The word Erda, according to many, appears 7 times in Tanakh. I'm not quite sure. It does say that by the Chet HaEgel. Vayered Hashem Be'anan. God came down in a mountain. It's 7 times that imagery is used that God came down 7 times. I'm not quite sure why it didn't happen in Mitzrayim, even though in Parshat Shmot, later in the Parsha, it says Vo'ered Lahatzilo. It does use it, but not in that context. But it doesn't say it later that God symbolically came down, whatever that word means.
Is there a link between those 7 times that is specific?
I haven't seen any.
You know,
yeah, I haven't seen. It's a good question. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue next Shabbat. It's Erev Thanksgiving. Are people coming?
Yes.
Good. Made the right decision.